Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 21st, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. It's a joy to welcome you here once again, and I just pray you are well. I know the weather across the country is cold and snowy. It's a little bit of everything going on all at once. But I pray that this time together on the podcast can warm you and settle you, body, mind, and spirit. So let's do what is our custom and practice here to begin in a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. And we do so. We celebrate this goodness of life by taking in the breath of life and giving thanks to God for each and every breath and every moment. Aware that every time we inhale and exhale, we can recognize that God is with us, that God is as close as our next breath. And so as you breathe, I pray, call to mind those things that are good and pure and worthy and lovely, those things that light you up inside, that perhaps bring a smile to your face, those things that that lights you up again. Those people and places, situations that are the best. Turn your face toward the sky. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. That line where you found today, just below there, sermon notes, podcast bulletin. It's right there. You'll see it. Got it? All right, now click on it, tap on it, and the bulletin will come up. Okay, so let's begin together. God of the prophets, you call us from evil to serve you. Fulfill in us your commonwealth of justice and joy, that the light of your presence may be revealed to all nations, to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from Mark's gospel in the first chapter, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. God, thank you for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. And we pray, oh God, during this time of reflection, that you would speak directly to our hearts and our minds, that we'd hear the word you have for us as a people, as a congregation, as the church, and also the word you have for us as individuals. Open our minds, soften our hearts. Speak to us now, we pray. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. So say you're driving along. All of a sudden, the red light starts to flash on your dashboard and steam starts coming up the hood of your car, and you pull over, you get yourself safe on the side of the road, and you pick up your phone. Who are you going to call? Will you call a plumber? Probably not. You might call AAA, you'll call a towing service, you'll call someone with the skill set you need to help solve your particular problem. I mention this because I've been thinking about vocation, thinking about why it is of all the people that Jesus assembled around him, called to follow him, to help start this movement, to spread this good news. In Mark's gospel, the first people that Jesus calls are fishermen. Now, I don't believe Jesus came to start a new religion, but it does seem to me, because so much of what he talks about has to do with the Hebrew scriptures, about the Torah, and explaining to people that the Torah was coming to life and being fulfilled right before their eyes. It seems to me that if I were, you know, in the meeting room, some corner of the cosmos, to say, okay, the time is right, Jesus needs to walk among them, he's going to need some helpers, you think maybe that he might go to the rabbinical schools to find those who are just steeped in that story, who know the Torah inside and out, and that they might write very deep and clever papers, right? Explanations as to who this Jesus is and why he's come. It doesn't go like that. As a matter of fact, it doesn't go like that at all. On this day, the way Mark tells the story, John the Baptist has been arrested, which seems to be the catalyst moment. It is official now. John's public ministry is ended, this ministry of the baptism of repentance. Clean up, get sober, get in this water so that when this moment comes, and it is coming, it is so near, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is right here. So be ready. That ministry, John's ministry, has run its course. John's been arrested, and now Jesus steps into his mission to announce that the kingdom of heaven is near as him. Your ability to see and touch and hug and converse with Jesus. But where does he go? He doesn't go into the halls of the intellectual elite. He doesn't go to the most righteous among them. He goes down to the seaside, and he encounters fishermen. And he doesn't have a high gloss brochure. He doesn't have a slideshow or any slick presentation. He just says, "Follow me." And they go ahead and they do just that. They follow him. It would lead you to believe that his reputation had preceded him. This wasn't the first time they'd seen him. And the first time that they'd encountered what it was he was up to and what he was doing. I think it's safe for us to assume that They had an idea of who he is, who he was, why he'd come. But maybe, given their vocation, given their station in life, maybe they never imagined that they would be the ones that he would come and call to be a part of this new thing that he was doing. But sure enough, on this day, on an ordinary day, where these fishermen got up and did what fishermen do, got up before the sun, got the gear together, got out in the boat, and went out to see if they could catch something. That they could catch something to provide for themselves and enough to sell and take to the marketplace to fill up their bellies and to fill the stalls of the fish merchants in the marketplace. It's hard work. Requires a lot of hard work and discipline. It requires patience and perseverance. This was exactly the skill set that Jesus needed. He needed this kind of person. So he approaches them. And first, he comes to Simon and his brother Andrew. They're actually in the process of fishing right on shore. And they're casting their net into the sea. Jesus simply says to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." I will make you fish for people. That's what really ties it together for me, this sense that those with this kind of training, with this kind of patience and perseverance, people who know hard work, people that know that maybe today you catch no fish and you're going to go to bed hungry, but you got to get up the next day and try again, and the next day after that. So it's in this way he says, "I'll make you fish for people. Drop what you're doing. I need you to quit doing this. I don't need you to quit being fishermen. I need everything you've ever learned about fishing. And now we're going to apply it to this new mission. That we're going to go out and we're going to cast the net as many times as it takes, so that as many people as possible can come to know and believe who Jesus is and why he's come." Well, they believed him, and they immediately left their nets. They left their nets and followed him. And then right again, then, verse 19, "As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending their nets." Again, the work, the hard work of the vocation, the getting up early, the going out for the catch, the cleaning the catch, the selling of the catch, the taking care of the gear, clean it all off and get it ready for the next day. And there they were, they're with their dad. It's a family business. Probably they've been fishermen for generations. So there they are, mending their nets, doing their thing. It's just an ordinary day. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. They dropped everything. And maybe, given how hard that work was, maybe they were just itching for an opportunity to go do something else, anything other than this grind of getting up early, going out to fish, processing the catch, cleaning the gear, and getting ready for the next day. Maybe anything sounded better than that. Maybe their understanding of what this calling meant was different than the reality of it. And we see evidence of that in the Gospels. They imagined that the coming of this new kingdom and Jesus' position in it might mean positions for them of authority and power and wealth. And time and again, Jesus reminds them it's different than that. To be a servant, to be a leader in the kingdom of heaven is to serve and to humble, that the first would be last and the last would be first. But it required this moment of decision, this quitting. Again, not quitting everything. They don't lose their identity and all of the skills they've gained as fishermen. But saying no to it, walking away from it, walking away from important things and people like their dad and the hired men in pursuit of this new thing. Time and time again, Jesus does this, calls people away from things that are good and important in pursuit of that which is best and most urgent, that he is with them there and then, here and now. The kingdom of heaven is drawn near. Follow me. So what are we to do with this story in the here and now? Those of us, perhaps our working lives, the careers that we had, the job titles that we had, maybe that's part of our history. And how is it that we might hear for ourselves the voice of Jesus saying, "Follow me"? What new ways, what new things might he be calling us into in this year, 2024? Or is it encouragement? Keep at it. Keep going. You're right at it. You're in the midst of it. Keep doing the right thing. When we are asked the question, "What do?" You're at a party, or maybe you're filling out the form at the doctor's office and it says occupation. What do? Often means, what do for a living? And we put our title in there. Maybe we write in the word retired, or we have a job title to put in there. But what we do, of course, is much more than our job title. What we do can be something as simple, well, I don't know if it's simple, but seemingly ordinary as, well, I do laundry on Wednesdays. I clean the bathrooms on Saturdays. I do yoga. And it's a new way of being, though. Who are you? Well, I'm just a fisherman. Perfect, Jesus says. A fisherman is exactly who I need for this job. Well, I'm just retired. Perfect. You're just the person I need for this mission. I think it would be important for us, I think it is important for us, to think about what we do. What's your job? What's your vocation right now? And how is it that you, right where you are in this moment, with the life story that you've lived up to this second right here, that you have exactly what Jesus needs to be a disciple, for you to be a disciple, to spread this good news, the reality of God with us? You can do it in a way that nobody else can. Nobody has your unique set of experiences. No one has your particular training on how it is to be you. There might have been a million other people that held the same job title as you, but there's only one you. And you only speak like you speak. And you only have your sense of humor. You only have your way of being. You only have your circle of friends and influence. And he comes to you right where you are It's not a moment that passed you by somewhere long ago. It didn't end maybe the day that you bent the knee and you offered your life to Jesus, and that was a once and for all. No, follow me. Every time the alarm goes off in the morning, imagine that he sits at the foot of the bed and he says to you, follow me. Well, Jesus, I'm just a... Yep. You're just the just I need. Retired? Fantastic. Homemaker? Come on. Grandparent? Exactly. I need a lot of grandparents. Car salesman? Perfect. Our lives matter. Our vocation matters. All of the experiences that you've had in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, have all formed you into the person you are in this moment. And it's all redeemed. It can all be used and applied to the glory of God and to the spreading of this good news, this gospel. Good news indeed, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. And we pray, continue to call us. Continue to inspire us to take stock of the wisdom and the skill and the gifts that you've given us. Encourage us to follow you. Send us out into the world to preach the gospel in the ways that you have given us the ability to preach. We pray for this, your good world. We pray your grace and your peace and your inspiration on those who make big decisions and those who find themselves in position of influence. Show them who they are and the responsibilities they've been given. Bless them with humility and send them out in the world to preach the good news. And bless those who feel forgotten, who feel incredibly ordinary. Remind them, dear God, in 1,000 different ways how they are unique. They are one of a kind, and that you know them and love them. And God, we pray over our own stuff, the good things in our lives, the moments of celebration, those things that we are anticipating that are coming up, and those wonderful moments from the week just past, and then the hard stuff. You know the things that we're going through, the things that our friends and family are going through. Take a moment here to be quiet, to sit quietly in your presence, oh God, and share these things with you, and to pray for a sense of your presence, to listen for your voice. Meet us in this quiet moment, we pray. We break our silence. We're thankful for the gifts of peace and quiet. We're thankful for the gift of our faith, for our scriptures and our prayers. We pray that you'd hear us, you'd join us, O God, as we say together this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with our ears inclined, tuned in to hear the voice of God who is calling us and sending us, finding us and encouraging us to go out, showing us what we need to quit and encouraging us to the new road ahead. This is the voice of our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.